The push for women's equality and voting rights gained popularity after that first national convention in 1850. Women gave talks and wrote articles about equal rights. Women who could afford it launched their own newspapers to discuss the issues. The Una, a paper devoted to the elevation of women. The Lily, devoted to the interests of women. There were more conventions, too. Small ones in towns and villages, bigger ones at the state level, and every year another national gathering where activists came together to talk. But while this was happening, the issue of slavery was moving America closer to civil war. The 10th National Women's Rights Convention, held in 1860, was the last one before the Civil War broke out in April 1861. At that point, women's rights activists put their projects on hold to support the war effort. They took over family farms. They worked in factories to fill in for the men who'd gone off to fight. They gathered food and medical supplies and helped care for injured soldiers. Many women's rights activists spoke out against slavery, too. Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucy Stone worked together to support a new law that would abolish slavery. Susan B. Anthony, who'd started going to conventions in the early 1850s, joined them. They set up a group called the Women's Loyal National League, which wrote a petition against slavery. Women traveled around collecting signatures until 400,000 people had signed it. The women delivered that petition to Washington, D.C., hoping to outlaw slavery once and for all. But that would require a change to the Constitution. How does that happen? The men who wrote the Constitution understood that over time, the world would change, and it would be necessary to change America's founding document, too. But amending the Constitution is a long process. For an amendment to be added, it has to be voted on in both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, and it has to get 2/3 of the vote in each. Then the amendment has to be ratified or approved by 3/4 of the states. How to amend the Constitution. Step 1. 2/3 majority vote in the Senate. Step 2. 2/3 majority vote in the House of Representatives. Step 3. Approval or ratification by 3/4 of the states. The 13th Amendment. The one that banned slavery in the United States made it through that whole process and was ratified in December 1865. December 1865. Ratified amendment. Rejected amendment. Ratified after amendment had enough states to pass. Territories. Then the women who had been fighting for voting rights got back to work. Now that the war was over, they hoped the nation would recognize all the amazing work women had done and grant them the right to vote. But it didn't work out that way. The women brought back their annual conventions with a meeting in New York City in May 1866. They formed a group called the American Equal Rights Association, or AERA, ERA, with Lucretia Mott as president. The group would fight for voting rights for all people, no matter their gender or race. It seems like such a good idea, doesn't it? How could anyone argue that? But as time went on, there were lots of arguments. Some came about because of two more proposed amendments to the Constitution. The 14th Amendment, ratified in July 1868, said all people born or naturalized in the United States were citizens. That included people who had been enslaved but were free now. This might not seem controversial, but the amendment also said states couldn't deny voting rights to any of the male inhabitants. The Constitution had never used the word male or female in talking about people's rights. But here, for the first time, it was clear that some rights were intended only for men.